As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Episode 1-0-0-6 of Down to Dunk. You can find us here on The Athletic and anywhere else you subscribe to your podcast. Go to theathletic.com/down to dunk and get The Athletic for $1 a month. I am Luke, joined this morning by Andrew.
I gotta say, I'm just fired up to be here today. It's pretty cool.
Slam through.
Taylor.
How do you follow Will Smith in the snow? You follow the Fresh Prince. Now y'all messing with a
slam through. Wow.
And Jay.
It's Jay.
There's so little of that song sung, I have no idea what it is.
Now y'all messing with a son of a...
Isn't that the name?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know the name of that song.
Let's see. So, I mean, I didn't look up the lyrics.
That's good. Sam Presti addressed the media yesterday, which is kind of the marker of the end of this Thunder season with regards to everything. So, like, Thunder people will go on a break. If you want to listen to the press conference in its entirety, I posted it on the OKC Dream Team feed, so you can go listen to it there. It's an hour and a half. So...
Would you suggest that somebody actually does listen to it all?
It's interesting.
How much was it real content?
I would say an hour of stuff that you would be interested in hearing.
I'll listen to it.
Yeah.
Today.
Yeah, you should. So I thought I could play a few clips on here that we could just talk about.
Please do. I'd love to hear all of this again.
Clip it up.
So
definitely listen.
This first clip is just about the basically we stuff that we've talked about. It's not anything that we haven't talked about already, but just kind of affirming the path that the Thunder are going to take moving forward. So here's Sam.
You know, we're willing to take the path that's hardest, but it's also the only path that's really available if you really think about it deeply, to meeting the kind of goals that we have. And what we don't want to do is lower those goals. You know, if we lower the goals, we can change the path, but they're alloyed together. And, you know, we're really committed to putting a team on the court over time that, will make people excited, proud, have incredible memories and joy. But I also think the path to get there is equally as exciting because you're seeing the growth of younger players. You're seeing, the growth of, a style of play, and you're seeing a commitment to something that I think is admirable in today's society that is generally conditioned for, you know, to eat the first marshmallow and not being willing or having the discipline to, you know, wait for two.
I know what he's talking about.
I was not prepared for that analogy.
You weren't prepared for the psychological evaluation there at the end of the Thunder fan base.
Yeah, of eating the first marshmallow.
He says it all the time.
What is that?
It's a famous study about, it's like they put kids in a chair and they say, here's one marshmallow.
You can eat this now or you can wait and get two.
Or you can wait and
or in 15 two. Minutes you can have two. Yeah, and they two. Leave the room and the kid, lots of kids just ate them.
Well, what if they're probably on a diet? They just want one.
Yeah. Yes, many children are on a diet. Yeah,
Sam didn't really process that.
A one marshmallow per day diet, of course. So,
here's my question: is it a big marshmallow? Or is it a little marshmallow?
Also,
I'm not sure.
Shay is the first marshmallow. So we're just gonna enjoy a team that just has Shay.
Are you gonna take? Okay. Are you gonna take the first marshmallow?
Are you gonna eat Shay? Or do you want to wait and eat two players that are as good as Shay?
Two Shays.
It's so funny to me.
What is he referring to exactly?
Okay, so he's talking about like an impatient fan base. He's talking about he's talking about the Hawks.
I was right. Like Shay. Like take the team that has Shay. Yeah, cool. That's your first marshmallow, and the ceiling of that is the 10 seed.
Well, it's like you can go add players to this team today.
Marshmallows.
And you can have the one marshmallow. You can be the Hawks.
Yeah.
Great. You want to be the Hawks? The Hawks have one star and they went and added free agents and they overpaid for free agents to come there and they traded for Clint Capella. And now they have this team that, what's their ceiling?
Can I let you know end of this playoff run? Because what if they win the championship?
I was going to say, even Andrew kind of gave them some hope. They could sneak up and do some damage. You call them legitimately good.
They're good, but are they going? But can they win the title? Can you see the Hawks in the next 5 years winning the title?
No.
Yeah.
Not without.
That's like
not
the
without a second marshmallow.
Yeah. So
right.
God.
Right.
So the Thunder are this.
I get it now.
You're welcome.
I think we're on. I think so we understand what he's saying.
The hard path.
The Hawks absolutely ate the first marshmallow.
Right. Yes. That he would say the Hawks ate the first marshmallow.
Well, and the Kings eat the first marshmallow like as it barely touches the table. Like they just grab it and eat it.
Yeah.
Before anything can happen. Same thing with the Timberwolves.
The Kings eat the table that the marshmallow was sitting on.
Right. The Kings are like, I can't even wait for the
Kings first have their mouth open.
Yeah.
Waiting for the marshmallow.
Yeah.
Like, no, I won't even consider the second mellow.
And then they like chew it around a little bit and then take it out of their mouth and play with it in their hands.
So,
and then they got sticky marshmallow all over their hands.
Essentially, this is just...
I hate this.
This is just the Thunder confirming everything that Sam wrote in that op-ed, everything that we have kind of assumed about them for a long time. He's just affirming those things. Like, we are going to build methodically through the draft. We're not going to deviate from the plan. There's really not a lot that could make us deviate from the plan.
Do you think there's any point where he gets genuinely like, how can I be clearer to our fans? I wrote an article in the only paper that exists in Oklahoma telling you what I was doing, here we are.
I think he absolutely gets like that. Okay, so here's about accelerating the timeline of the Thunder rebuild.
I think a lot of mistakes get made when you artificially, when you artificially try to accelerate something that needs to build momentum or growth organically. I think the team has to lead you to that. But if you artificially try to do that, I think now what you're doing is you are really limiting the upside of your goals, your potential outcomes, because you're basically letting time or impatience or lack of poise kind of drive your decision-making rather than your goals kind of drive those. So,
yeah.
So it's kind of more of the same, right? Mm-hmm. It's more of, because people wonder, okay, Shea's really good. Dort's really good. Beasley. We really like Poku.
But the only difference, and we've talked about this in the group text, the only difference next year if they start to try to win games, they don't try to blatantly lose. The only difference between what he's talking about not doing, artificially building it and then letting it grow or happen, is next year we try to win. We're still bad, but at least it's with all these young players that we've drafted and they're trying to be developed, yeah, versus a team like what the Hawks did, where it's like, okay, we're going to throw a bunch of money Gallo at these old and vets and free agents and try to get scorers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, to put alongside Shea.
If the Hawks would have tried to be in the top five in this draft one more time.
Yeah.
Like, it kind of makes more sense. Because then if they land, for them, you know, insert whichever one of the... Kuminga is the guy that they get, you know, which I know he may be redundant. But that's where you start making your stride in more of a kind of organic way. I don't know. I think it's... For somebody that's been following this trend for the last year, this feels unnecessary. Does that make sense? Like, for us, we get it. We've been leading that conversation in many ways for the last year. It's easy to get impatient with it.
Mm-hmm.
Just personally, I just will acknowledge that. Like, it's going to be easy to get impatient with it because, and part of that is because of the uniqueness of this roster comparatively, speaking towards Shea being somebody that's an already all-star, which is not something a lot of rebuilds have this early in the process. And so there'll be some impatience, but I think Taylor has kind of affirmed what we've talked about numerous times. And it's like, if this draft goes the way it possibly could, we find ourselves seeing this kind of develop in the way that is more encouraging than this last year was. I'll just say that. Is that fair?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So just real quick on the two marshmallow thing. I've been thinking about it.
Okay.
Using that as a reference, or like using that as an example, or I don't know what you want to call it. It is saying that, like, if we just wait, we will get the two marshmallows. And that's quite an assumption. I mean, I guess you just keep waiting until you get the two marshmallows.
Yeah, and
Well, you talked about that too. That it's not
the fears.
I'm following you.
You know what I'm saying?
Luke just wants to think about marshmallows.
I don't know. No,
It's like a guarantee that in 15 minutes in the experiment, someone's going to come in with two marshmallows. There's not a guarantee that we're going to wait and two marshmallows are going to.
Well,
come
here's
in
the thing: is that yes, I agree that there's no guarantees. And he talked about the draft. He talked a lot about the lottery, that he has to really let go of all of that. There's no control that you can have over it, because the odds to control it are so slim that it makes no sense to even if you lost every single game this season, you still have no control over whether you even end up in the top five. True. Like, you have no control over it. So he's like, we have to let go of that. We have to follow our processes no matter what. If we get lucky, great. If we don't, we're not going to be caught off guard by that. We're going to continue to build and build the team in the way that we're going to build the team anyways. And so also the Thunder work really hard in scouting and know tons of different players. And so, like, everybody's going to be obsessed with these top four guys. We don't know that those are going to be the best players in this draft.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know that the seventh guy in this draft isn't going to be the best player in this draft.
It happens.
He very well could be.
It happens all the time.
It is more likely that the top four guys, one of those guys, will be the best and be an all-star and be an all-NBA player. That's the most likely outcome if you look at all the drafts. But it doesn't mean that you're just toast. If you don't land there, because the Thunder are going to work harder than just about everybody else to figure out who these guys are. And they may come up with the conclusion that, crap, it was those four.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't know that. And they don't know that. And literally nobody really knows that. Mm-hmm. That's the reality of this. Those guys have the most potential. But, like, there could be a Michael Beasley in there, right? Like, we don't know. We don't know any of those guys.
So you're saying there's going to be a super awesome player in there that I personally love? Mike Beasley?
Right. Super cool. Okay, Beast. Cool.
I love Beast.
Right? Yeah. I know there's stories about how Miami, like, regretted the pick almost instantly after it was like the Davis first workout. They've told this story a bunch. David Fizdale told this story that they went to the gym and Russell Westbrook was in the gym and had been there for hours and was just like dripping with sweat. And Beasley was asleep.
They had to go wake Beasley up.
They had to go get him up. And they were like, oh no.
But that was pre-draft.
Oh no.
No.
Was that post-draft?
It was after the draft.
Oh no.
That's when you know. Like, well, that was it.
What have we done?
I've made a huge mistake.
Okay, so Sam was asked about timeline and about Shai. Like, does Shai accelerate your timeline? And this was Sam's. Wait, nope, not his response yet. I have to load this in. Talk about something else. Talk about marshmallows some more while I load.
Okay, would you consider circus peanuts marshmallow? Because now I'm replacing. It's not just like a normal marshmallow.
Would you put a circus peanut on a s'more?
No.
Then it's not a marshmallow.
Wow, what a great.
Would you put it? Would you put a chocolate covered marshmallow on a s'more?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess it's like almost like pre-made s'more.
Yeah. My question is, why wouldn't you?
Can I tell you, true. Is this an unpopular opinion that I can kind of take or leave marshmallows by themselves?
All right. Here's Sam's answer on not timeline unpopular. Part one.
If you're going to attach yourself to time as the most important priority in your process, then that is okay, but then your outcomes are just a byproduct of your commitment to time. If you make your goals the most important thing in your prioritization, then the byproduct of that is how much time it might take. But that doesn't necessarily mean it takes a long time. It may take a short time. That's kind of not in your control. But as soon as you start making time the number one priority, you're taking opportunity to reach higher end goals off the table because you're making concessions to meet an arbitrary time period. And we are prone to resist allowing anything to dictate, you know, our outcomes other than our goals. So you have your goals, you have a path to help you reach those goals, and the byproduct is the amount of time it might take.
He is trying to tell somebody about the movie Interstellar in that moment. I'm like, I was done with, I'm like, what are you?
So let's talk about a team that let time dictate.
Before you do that, I agree with that, but I see it more as Matthew McConaughey with like in that time is a flat circle thing. But I want to hear Matthew McConaughey be like, listen, you're not gonna let time dictate that where you're gonna.
Yeah.
I can see that exactly. And both confuse me.
Yeah. Yeah.
He talks like there's this video going around where this person was writing a paper and they were just in the thesaurus and replacing every other word with a word in the thesaurus. And so now you can't even understand what the paper means anymore, like what it reads.
Joey did that on Friends.
Sam just operates on
I think you're right.
He just operates on a different plane than most everybody else, which I know people like that, like geniuses trying to talk to people that aren't geniuses. I know there's eventually a point where it's just like, why am I wasting my time with these people?
Yeah. Well, what he's talking about, like the organization as well as the ownership group understand like what their goals are. Like their goals are to win a championship. Mm-hmm. Their goals are to be one of the best teams in the league for a decade. And they're not going to say, hey, you need to do this in 3 years.
Yeah.
Otherwise, this, you know, it's going to be, you're going to get fired. Mm-hmm. Like you're going to lose your job. So I have like look back at Orlando. They did it over and over again. They had Oladipo, Ibaka, or not Oladipo and Ibaka. They had Oladipo, Sabonis. They had Eric Gordon. They had all these guys, and they traded two of those guys to get Serge Ibaka because there was a mandate that you have to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
And so they thought, oh my gosh, like Oladipo hasn't done that much. We don't know what this draft pick is going to be. We know what Serge will be. Let's go get him. And they did it because of time.
Yeah, the most underrated part of this franchise is the ownership.
Yes.
Like giving permission for Sam to pursue this and just trusting him. Like knowing that Sam has come into their office multiple times.
Yeah.
and said, hey, listen, what do you want this team to be?
Yeah.
Because we can be, and I know we've had battles about this, we can be the Pacers, where we're constantly in playing games or 7 or 8 seeds.
Thunder could be the Pacers next season.
Right, yeah. Right. Or do you want us to be the Spurs, the, you know, Warriors, whatever version of that could be? And the answer is always clearly San Antonio or Golden State, but do you have the actual fortitude?
We're giving Golden State way too much credit there, but move on.
I mean, but they let theirs build organically.
They did put their team together.
No, they lucked into it. They tried to trade Steph. They tried to trade Clay. Draymond only played because David Lee got hurt. They fell into this. They weren't like, okay, we're going to build through this and this and this and this. I just feel like we're giving them too much credit. And then they're like, oh, wow.
I think you're giving them no credit, which is... I don't agree.
What's wild is you look at the way...
They had a chance to trade Clay. They didn't trade Clay.
Were they a good team? Hold on. The Spurs, you've seen them for 20 years. For 25, 30 years, they've been treating it this way.
Yeah.
What was Golden State before Steph fell into their arms?
What were the Spurs before Tim Duncan fell into their arms?
I don't know. That was a long time ago.
Yeah, I don't. I was like 5. George Gervin.
I mean, they weren't a championship caliber team. You have to luck into a guy at some point, right? Yeah, like the Thunder need to luck into a guy. But
their process was still like, you can trace their process now back to then as well. And they just weren't like succeeding because they didn't have the guy. But like Draymond Green, what made that Warriors team? It was Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, and Steph Curry.
Yeah, but I think... Not to defend the Warriors, who have become somebody I enjoy again, which is a great turn of events. But the thing is they fired Mark Jackson, which was their proactive decision.
Yes.
Right? Which
I would say reactive.
Maybe. But you know what I'm saying? Like they still had to...
The correct decision to make.
Yeah. Yes. And so I think there's a lot of things. I think there's not enough credit probably being given there. Now, you can go back and say they thought about trading whoever they did, but they also didn't.
I mean, but they tried to trade Steph. They weren't going to play Draymond Green.
More about Scar. I mean, we don't know.
We were talking about Sam Presti and our own team. I just didn't want to keep going back to like light years, boys.
For me, it's just the fact that like the whole point I was trying to make is that ownership is giving Sam permission. Now, how long will they have the appetite for that if it doesn't turn out? In the next 2 or 3 years, they start trending in a positive direction. We don't know that answer, right?
Yeah.
We only know what they've done so far, and whether it was fortune or strategy, the Thunder had a very shortened build in the first iteration of this team here in Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
We don't know. We don't know what their appetite is going to be for it. And so that's why I know Sam doesn't want to rush the timeline, but it's just, I know for fans, like, who knows how long we're going to sit and watch a team that feels like it's a rudderless ship. Like, I don't know.
Well, I mean,
and then does the league step in? Or does the league care so little about Oklahoma City?
Yeah, I mean, they'd have to be... It was an egregious process with the 76ers. And it wasn't just the losing. It was the losing paired with Sam Hinkie's inability to get in front of a microphone and explain himself.
Yeah.
And Sam always, like, Sam did it for an hour and a half yesterday. So I don't think it'll get to that point here. Certainly.
Yeah.
But the thing about it is, like, nobody knows anything. Like, nobody really knows anything. Like, the Thunder traded for Shea, and it's worked out really well. The last time they traded for a late lottery pick with a really good player, they traded for Jeremy Lamb, right?
Mm-hmm.
Jeremy Lamb, nice player now, whatever. But they didn't know Shea was going to be this. They didn't know Shea was going to be this, and he addressed this yesterday before the season. They didn't know that he could be this. Nobody knew that. If you think that you knew it,
right.
Then you're just a ridiculous homer.
People on Twitter knew it.
I wonder if you could go back and listen to some people talk about Jeremy Lamb and be like, you know, Jeremy Lamb, because he was really good at UConn. And
yeah, he's a good player.
So it's one of those things.
Highly touted.
I bet you could find some people that were most definitely like, I don't know.
I feel like that was
talking hype a little bit around Jeremy Lin.
Yeah.
I remember us all talking hype around Jeremy Lin. It was like, okay, now we have the now replacement in Kevin Martin. And then we have Jeremy Lamb, the future guy who can come up and be the next James Harden level right. player.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, there's
anything
a lot of
else, anything else from
there's a lot of good nuggets in there.
What about the post? What about
Jokic
total? The all of the postseason interviews. Like anybody stand out to you?
Oh, I thought Shea was good. I always like talking to Shea. He's still not healthy. And he said that he doesn't know if he can play in the Olympics yet. So I thought that was really interesting. I thought...
Presti saying he probably won't have to have surgery, right?
Yes. Shea? That they, as long as nothing happens from here on, like he's avoided surgery on that foot. And it's just a rest thing. So that's a good thing. I mean, the Muscala stuff was like probably the most interesting thing of the week, aside from really, I mean, anything else. Because it really, I talked about this on Wednesday, like it really does make you proud to follow this organization. Because it's like real stuff. Because there's a lot of teams that are just like, we are a business. We play basketball. And if we win, great. And if we don't, you're fired. You're gone because we are just trying to win basketball games and we could not care less about like you or whatever the stuff is. And maybe they pretend that they care, but you hear stories about lots of different organizations.
I do think that's what makes, I think that's what sets Oklahoma City apart in the sense that we've had this conversation before and I know you disagree with me in some sense, but I do think they will have a better shot at getting somebody to commit to play here that you wouldn't think they would going
I hope,
forward. Now, I'm not saying like Anthony Davis level, yeah. like, but I'm saying like there will be free agents that choose Oklahoma City in the future because of the experiences of some of these people that have come through the organization.
I hope really, so. I hope that they reap the rewards of yeah. what they've built. Because they, I think if a player did choose that, I think that they would be happy. Maybe there's been a few, but I don't know that there's been any that have been like, hey, like this place sucks. Like, I don't want to be here.
Well, and I think
most people leave and have really nice things to say about the organization.
But it goes back to also why Sam is creating this team the way he does and why they do everything with intentionality, because
yeah.
they recognize that our market handicaps them as a franchise, handicaps us as a franchise. Like, it's just the yeah. reality. Like, I know Oklahoma City fans have this, and Boomtown kind of deals with this a little bit, but we have this kind of, you know, small guy syndrome where we feel like we are the best city in the universe and everybody else just doesn't know it. But that's not the reality. Mm-hmm. And we are at a disadvantage as a franchise because of our market. And the sooner we are okay with understanding that, the more likely we're able to be able to see this methodology of recreating this team and say, hey, this is the only way forward.
Yeah.
Because we can't build like the Lakers or the Heat or the Sixers or the Knicks or the Celtics. Like, the Knicks are a dumpster fire and will be a genuine free agency destination within a year or two. Maybe. It just took like a competent coach and yeah. direction to somebody's going to give them a shot.
Maybe.
I mean, the jury's still out on the Knicks, but look at Brooklyn. Like, what has Brooklyn been?
Yeah, it's
all it takes is because they're in New York. Like,
well, the Clippers are another example.
I know, yeah. and it's. I don't want to, you know, take this point more than necessary, but I just don't know why we're still trying to have these conversations. It's like this is clearly the only way you build in Oklahoma City if you want a long-term, sustainable contender.
Yep.
Head John's back to a bigger and bigger dream. Head John's back to a bigger and bigger dream.
It's a combined Taylor's Factoid Figure Dickery and Luke's Dick Dive.
Listen, this has been the most hyped thing of maybe my yeah. life. This
started back in March.
We've been talking about it for a long time. Trying to do this.
There's a lot of pressure on
YouTube.
There's
so much pressure. This has got...
Oh, okay.
It has got to be.
Here's what we did. Taylor came over to my house yesterday, and we tried every flavor of the new Sonic Hard Seltzers.
Oh, you did?
We did.
Yes. And we are here.
Somebody asked about
to
this,
review
actually.
Them.
Okay.
All we Taylor, like we both have we both have
look
notes.
How many notes I have.
Look at Taylor's notes.
So Flobby Dagnuts asks, now that they're out,
yeah,
tell us your thoughts on the Coop Sonic Seltzers.
Well, okay. here's all
we have a lot of them.
Called them Seltzies, which
Seltzies.
I don't hate
Seltzies.
It.
Seltzies. Yeah.
So there are two packs. Let me just introduce them to you. There's Tropical, which has ocean water, mango guava, orange pineapple, and melon medley. And then Citrus has cherry limeade, classic lemonade, lemon berry, and original limeade.
So what we did was we drank each one. We went through each pack. And now I think we have notes. Let's just like talk our way through the event.
So how many total are we
through
looking
the evening?
At? Was it
eight?
Eight, okay.
Eight, yes.
You each drank eight?
No.
Yes. No.
No, we had
last
glass.
Night.
We no, had
we,
like
how are you here?
We probably of
it
each one
was an early morning.
That's each one we like probably salt. Had like a fourth or a fifth of a can.
Yeah.
But then we'll get to what we've reached.
It gets a little we get into it.
And we also ranked them.
So first we started with ocean water. Let me give you my notes on this first. This is kind of how it's gonna be. Ocean water. Flavor blasted. Already more flavor than your average seltzer. Very coconutty.
Very coconutty.
This is I'm calling it right now. This is going to be number one overall. This tastes like Malibu.
It does taste like Malibu.
Or sunscreen.
Yes. It is sunscreeny.
It's good. It's the best. By far, I'd say.
Luke put on Tech N9ne's Caribaloo on his phone at this point.
Yes, he did.
151 rum. Isn't that it?
Uh-huh.
Yes. Yeah, that
yes,
one.
Yes, it is. It was the best, and I would say like this one and Cherry Limeade are like they know that these two are the best.
No, we'll get the Cherry Limeade.
I understand
what you all are doing, but we absolutely should have live streamed this entire process.
I suggested that Luke did not want to do it on video.
Yeah, that's a mistake.
It would have been a long.
But we would have got a lot of good content. There's that's a lot true. Of notes I have to leave out.
Next we did mango guava, which I would say smells really good. We're going to get into why that's important a little bit later, but it smelled good. We have a lot of content. I told you
we need 20 solid minutes. It's only been 2 minutes.
Oh, I know.
What do you, Taylor, what did you think of mango guava?
Well, first, I had no expectations.
Face,
love mangoes. At this point, Luke is looking at the can and he says, look at it. That's a pineapple and that's a watermelon. To which I said, no, that's a mango and that's a guava.
That's true. They look a lot like this.
No, they do not.
So
also flavor blasted.
They're all flavor blasted. They're all like,
these are the most flavorful
seltzers. Hit you
seltzers.
In the face with flavor. And a lot of sugar. Next was orange. Next was orange pineapple. The most important thing about this is the first full can of the drink that we finished.
Mm-hmm.
Which one is this?
The orange pineapple.
Okay.
It's very, it's more orange than pineapple.
Okay. Too much orange, I would say. Okay. There's no colors on these. We would have liked to have food coloring in each one.
They're not colorful?
No, they're no, all, we, one is colorful. One has color. The rest are clear.
It's one that you'd wish that you were thankful it had color, though. We'll get to it.
Next is melon medley.
It's too many teasers to keep up with.
Yes.
Well, there's like 18 flavors.
Yeah. Next was melon medley, and it has like a bubblegummy aftertaste. I actually liked it.
I thought this smelled like a fart, but like a good fart. It smelled like a juicy fruit gum. No, it tasted like juicy fruit gum, and
you
it's flavor blasted.
Juicy fruit gum?
Yeah, it smelled like if you farted juicy fruit gum.
It does have a bubblegum aftertaste. It is.
But juicy fruit isn't bubblegum.
It's good.
Yeah, well, it's gum.
Isn't it bubblegum?
Juicy fruit is gum.
Chewing gum.
It's not bubblegum.
Chewing gum.
I think it is.
Bubblegum is like a bubblegum is its own flavor. Bubble gum is its own flavor. No, Juicy Fruit is its own flavor.
No. That would be like an original flavor.
Yeah.
I don't.
We'll save it for the next podcast.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
We'll get to that later.
that rounds out.
We tasted every single piece of chewing gum.
That rounds out. That's the tropical pack.
Yeah.
Next is the citrus pack.
You can get a flavor. Go on.
Citrus.
You guys do this all the freaking time, so you guys shut up.
Okay.
It'll be like Bubblicious original.
Keep going.
Okay. Here's this. Here's the thing about the citrus pack. All of the citrus drinks smell terrible.
They smelled awful.
They smell really bad when you smell them.
Mm-hmm.
The first one is cherry limeade.
Hello, color. The it's first colorful. Drink with color in it.
It's colored. It's red.
How do they decide that?
I have no idea.
No
I
idea.
Think they should have colored all of them.
Yeah. Why would you only? Why would you color only?
Here's no my idea.
Ocean water should have been blue.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think. I wonder. Are these naturally flavored? And the color just comes with when they were brewing the fruits with the seltzer.
Cherry limeade is, I would say, second.
Are you telling me they use real ocean water?
Yes.
Real coconut.
Yes. after that is the classic.
Hold on.
Okay, cherry limeade. What do you think?
Cherry limeade. I had the highest hopes for this one. I smelled it. It smells like a burp of someone who ate beef and cherry pie. Flavor Town. Wow, that's good. Luke has a huge...
It's good? Why would you describe it as somebody that ate beef and cherry pie?
No, it smelled, like a fart. A burp of someone who ate beef and cherry pie.
They smell bad.
All of these smell terrible, and then you drank it, and boom, your Flavor Town.
Flavor Town. Next is a classic lemonade. Once again, smells
I've
really
heard
bad.
The cherry limeade is the best so far.
Second best.
Second best.
Classic lemonade... Well, again, smells really bad, but good. I mean, it's pretty good.
Why do they smell bad?
Yeah, I wrote on here. Know. Okay, stop smelling these.
Yeah, it's bad. They really only get worse.
Flavor blasted.
You guys smell lemonade. Your drinks?
Like if I'm drinking a wine, I'm smelling the wine.
Oh yeah, we treated this seriously. This was a taste.
We're taking in the notes, the flavor. The notes.
I'm just trying to remember.
They hit the mark on classic lemonade. By the way, it tastes like lemonade
throughout.
No.
Hard to tell if this is authentic then.
Next.
Luke says on classic lemonade, I haven't had a Mike's Hard, so I don't know what to compare it to. As if they were going for alcoholic lemonade instead of just lemonade. I thought they did a really good job on lemonade.
It's good. It's good. It's fine.
It's clear.
Next is lemon berry. This one smells like a fart. And it kind of has a cough medicine-y aftertaste. Yeah. It's probably my least favorite.
What is it?
Lemon berry. It's least favorite.
Everybody stay away from lemon berry. Hey, the lemon berry slush though.
Yeah.
Good. Right. That'll fool you.
That's top two or three.
Yeah, it's very slushes. Good. Yeah.
Yeah, this one's I have a quote here from Luke.
Miguel De Vella said, is this the equivalent of the L-man scouting for the draft?
This is, yes. This is me scouting these Sonic drinks.
A quote here from Luke. This one smells like the fartiest of them all. Dude, this one smells like a big old fart. It was flavor blasted again. Long notes of raspberry.
Okay, you guys don't even have to address all of these.
They're flavor
smelled.
Blasted. They're flavor blasted.
Let's leave the smell out of it from here on.
Well, I just want you to
and
have
the
it.
Flavor blast.
This is what we kept going back to. These Although, are the nuts. The, these
it
are
is
the things.
The thing I'm the most intrigued about now with trying it is like, do these guys just not have a sense of smell anymore?
No, they smell.
Okay. It burned it out. Our sense of smell. The original limeade is fine. If you like, it's good. It tastes like a limeade. It's very citrusy, but. You know, good.
Flavor blasted?
Does it smell like a burp or fart?
Yes, it smells like both.
Okay.
Yeah, burps are really coming now. We keep smelling these greenish tint.
I feel like you've already passed eight.
No, this is eight.
This is eight. Original limeade.
Original limeade is the first one I thought I could drink multiples of these. Because one thing we noticed, we were drinking them, and it's not... You know how White Claw has kind of a subtle flavor to it, and you can just keep pounding them? These are two flavor blasted.
These are flavor blasted.
There's 15 of them?
It's going to be, yeah.
Goodness.
These are two flavor
those
blasted.
Those surge ones are going to end up killing people this summer.
You've seen it.
It's the White Claws that have like twice the alcohol.
Yeah.
That's going to kill people this summer.
Okay. Do we want to... We have different rankings. I'll give you my ranking first. Here's my ranking. Ocean water, cherry limeade, orange pineapple, melon medley, mango guava, which mango guava smells the best. Classic limeade, original limeade, lemon berry. That's my ranking.
Well, you need to post these, both of you.
Yeah, yeah, post so, these on your Twitter
I won't
account.
Go through my full rankings, but they hit the mark on the two that they needed to hit the mark
which
on.
Which is ocean water.
Ocean and water yeah. and cherry limeade. Absolutely. They did it.
Yeah, if you miss on those.
Knocked it out of the park.
It's a failure if you miss on this.
Flavor blasted.
Yeah, smell completely like a fart. Nailed it.
Yeah. Yes. Those two smell the least worst. Still small.
Here's the thing that we did.
Still
we, stank. We did two things that I think are important. One, at the end, we made a suicide.
We did it.
And we put all of them together and drank it.
What was the smell?
Yeah, give us the smell.
Really
I have a note on here. Luke smelled it, he shouldn't have.
Yes. It's just it does here's what I would say.
How was the taste? Flavor blasted?
It's actually good.
Is it flavor blasted?
It's good. Yeah. It's good. It's not bad.
So my neighbors,
it's good. It's not bad.
My neighbors have teenage daughters.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, we got a case of the era 12 pack of these. Like, is there any way we could keep them at your house? Like, not thinking that they would intentionally drink them.
No, they look like they're made. The cans look like they're made for children. No,
they're at our house.
Oh, they're at your house
So my son's drinking them.
He's at home right now.
It looks like Willy Wonka. It looks like Willy Wonka like has made a
soft drink. Yeah,
they got
to do something to make it a little more
adult looking.
Yeah, adult looking.
I have on here wouldn't be caught at public bar holding one of these.
No, not the can.
Yeah, the can. No, not happening.
Hey, but here's the thing that we figured out and that we next tried because we were really like we were sitting and they were like, man, the ocean water tastes so much like Malibu, like spiced rum. Mm-hmm. We're like, what if we mixed it with it? Well, we didn't have any. Spice rum because I don't.
Alcohol content of these cans?
5%. So what we figured out was these are spiked mixers.
Yes,
they're not hard seltzers.
Here's what we did:
mixers.
And we.
What's that? Explain the difference.
So you could like take mix that them and you with pour alcohol. It in with something else. Like mix them with a liquor.
They're like alcoholic mixers.
Yes,
and then you add more liquor.
So
to
instead
them.
Of putting Coke with your rum, you put.
Yes. Yeah. So this is what we did. We tried some of this. We did cherry limeade.
We
cherry
are.
Limeade this and is whiskey. We Ooh. Did cherry limeade
no,
and whiskey.
Jay, it was really good.
It's good.
It was like a poor man's old fashioned.
Yeah. That was our inspiration.
Yeah. It was good.
It was good.
Legit good.
Here's the next one. This one was my favorite. Orange pineapple with tequila.
Yep.
Okay.
And that it's good. It is good. Like Flavor I think blossom. If you got one of those little, like if you took the can and got one of those little like mini like little tiny bottles that just have like one shot in them.
Airplane bottles?
Yeah,
yes,
yeah, yeah.
Yes. And then we did classic lemonade mixed with vodka.
Good.
Good. Better than the drink by itself, in my opinion.
I need like three or four. Like, I need a tweet thread today.
But what did it smell like?
They smelled less worse because they just smelled like alcohol.
Yeah.
So you're like used to that smelling the way it does.
Not everybody is, just to be clear.
Okay.
That's probably a good
okay.
point.
If you're super excited about these, you're probably used to it. Here's our idea. We came up point. With this idea.
That's a good point.
Yeah. I don't have a ton of excitement about
yeah,
these.
That's a good point.
We came up with an idea, and it's for their next to join
their next
tropical
pack.
And citrus. We have their next pack. Food. Food flavored hard
tater tot seltzers.
Here's what we got. Footlong chili cheese coney.
Mm-hmm.
It's flavor one. Flavor two, tater tots. Flavor three, breakfast burrito with picante sauce. And flavor four is corn dog with mustard.
That's the next pack.
That's the next pack, and we'll review it when it comes out.
Gross. Well, thanks, guys. Let's go to the stream real quick. We have Miroslav in Germany. We have Tyler Field. Oh, Lawrence Field. Sorry. I think there's a Tyler Field. Lawrence Field. Sorry about that. We have Josh Morrison in Virginia. What's up, Josh? WKim14 in Sydney. Let's see. Miguel Davila, as always. Thanks so much for listening. We have Joel Angel, who is in Antarctica. That just blows my mind. Wow. That's you're in Antarctica. That's so cool. Let's see. We have Sydney Hug. We have the Crimson King here listening early in the morning. We have Zach Prince, who says, Good morning from cleat training in Ada. I graduated and became a certified police officer on Monday.
Nice.
Listening to the podcast, which I had done before cleat, is what helped me get through this long stretch of time without my 7-month-old and my girlfriend. So thanks for keeping the podcast coming and the interactions you guys have with fans on Twitter, the NBA, and a few guys. Thanks, Zach. Thanks for listening, man. We have Loke in Copenhagen. We have Brushy in Albuquerque. We have Jesse Smith in Tulsa. What's up, Jesse? We have Honorable Bobman in Auckland. Appreciate you guys. We have, and Michael Anderson saying that footlong chili cheese dog seltzer would definitely smell like farts.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah, but if they already smell like farts, you might as well swing for the fences. Yeah.
That's what they say about farts. We will be right back after this quick break.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers? That's a butterfly effect for
real. Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. And we're back after that quick break.
Twitter questions.
Hey, y'all. Let's do our first Twitter question. It comes from at Dortpoy, who says, let's take our minds off the Thunder draft lottery for a minute and enjoy the playoffs stress-free. Are you rooting for? I never thought this day would come, but I'm rooting for the 8th seed Wizards. Wizards emoji. Hashtag why not?
Yeah, I was rooting for them to get into the playoffs, but
definitely
I don't really want to. I'm not going to pull for them much from here on out. I'll watch them.
You're not going to pull for them against the Sixers, underdogs.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I like part of that, and they're going to. I think that series is going to be fun because there's going to be a lot of drama, in my opinion. But
Russ is always looking for, like, he had a rivalry with Ricky Rubio. It was totally one-sided. Like, Rubio, like, after the games, was like, I really respect Russ. Like, I love him. And he's just smiling. And then Russ is, like, fuming in the locker room.
And I think
Embiid and him, like, yeah, really have, say, a
they
genuine,
have a history.
Like, hatred for each other. Like, you always remember Embiid falling down and, like, putting some extra weight on Russ. And then afterwards, Russ was asked about it. And they said, okay, like, did you think there was extra there? Was Embiid just falling over? And Russ's like, yeah, he just, you know, he put some extra on there for sure. But, you know, it's fine. And then, like, whoever it was, I can't remember who asked it, said, well, so you guys are cool then. You remember what Russ's response is? F no. So I can't wait for that series just because, and also, like, the waving goodbye stuff. You know, back to the 2017, like, everything about this is going to be great theater.
He dunked. There's a dunk out there that Embiid had on Russ. That was,
yeah. Oh, it's petty. It's fun.
It'll be a really fun series. My deal with Philly is I want Philly to beat the Nets if they meet in the Eastern Conference final. So I'm not pulling for the Sixers, but I like the way they've put their team together. So,
well, the thing about that is, are you totally confident that the Nets will beat the Heat or Bucks? I'm not totally confident about that.
I don't know. If they stay healthy, it's hard for me to see very many teams beating them.
I don't know. Playoffs are a totally different beast.
Yeah.
And
you're right.
I agree with you mostly that the Nets are going to get to the finals. That would be my pick.
Yeah.
But I just want to see if they can get out of their own way first. Yeah.
But if we are talking about teams in the Eastern Conference, there's two teams that I'm actually kind of I'm rooting for, but pulling for, I guess I'll say. The Knicks, I get it. Like their ownership is terrible.
Yeah.
But the NBA is more fun when the Knicks are good.
I agree.
Like it's just, and there's so many media members. I didn't realize this. Like so many media members that are Knicks fans.
Oh yeah.
Which is kind of awesome. And then, this is my small market kind of love. Like I just want Milwaukee to win.
The whole thing?
Like the whole thing.
Mm.
Or at least get to the championship.
At least not lose to the Heat, right?
Yes. Mainly, yeah. Number one, that.
Don't do that.
So we all agree their team is...
I do feel pretty good about that. I think the Bucks are going to be... I think the Bucks
are... I don't know, man. The Heat are very good.
The Bucks slaughtered them in the last game.
I don't care.
Dude, do you think the Bucks are better built for playoffs this year than last year?
Yes. Substituting Drew for Eric Bledsoe is like...
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's certainly helpful.
I just don't think the Heat haven't been together all season. And now what? They're just expected to be like, okay, now we're all healthy and together.
They played really well for the last
bubble. Doesn't last month. Year. Doesn't count bubble.
So because I've got to step away here in just a minute. I do want to talk Western Conference. Like who do you, it's hard as the team I'm naturally rooting for is the Suns.
Yeah.
And they may get swept as the two seed in the first round.
They have to play the Lakers.
Although I wasn't as impressed with the Lakers as I thought I was going to be in that first game, but partly because...
That second half,
But the Warriors defended like madmen.
Yeah.
And they made everything difficult for the Lakers.
Yeah, Draymond was awesome. JTA was great.
Yeah, but people keep saying that, but then the Warriors were up the whole first half. They keep talking about their defense and how hard they made it for the Lakers, and the Lakers came back and won the game.
The Lakers were shooting outside of Caruso. They were shooting 24% in the first half.
Yeah, I think
it was they were shooting unsustainably bad.
That's what I'm saying. So why do we keep talking about Golden State's defense?
They're a top five defense in the league.
Yes,
I get that.
They're talking about it after this game, and I'm like, they literally lost, and they were winning, and the Lakers came back and won.
It's because it was the only reason they were in the game. They only lost by three.
Yeah, it was 103-100.
103-100 in 2021 is a low score.
Yeah, but
Wizards scored 103 in the third quarter, but by the third quarter.
I don't understand why you're hating on their defense.
No, I'm not hating on their defense. I'm saying
I
don't understand what the Warriors
on a shot
like.
That was at the end of a shot clock
and
from 50 feet away.
And LeBron said that he was aiming at the center rim because he saw three rims.
Well, I'm not going to stick
that was
up
so
for
dramatic.
That. I'm not going to talk.
It's like so LeBron, right?
I know.
It's so LeBron.
Hey dude, we already think you're one of the top two greatest players of all time. Like you don't have to.
That was
my eyes. I couldn't even see.
Yeah, he's got to like...
Mark Jackson was having none of it during the broadcast. Did y'all hear? He was just basically mocking LeBron.
Yeah, he was.
I can't believe he hit that when he couldn't see. I don't care anything about the Clippers. I hope they actually lose in the first round.
I am a huge Mavs fan right now.
And the Mavs actually could beat them.
I think they could too.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they did last year.
Denver-Portland.
No, they didn't.
But
no.
they won...
They went to six or seven.
They went to six, yeah.
Yeah, they went to six.
I don't really, like I said, care. I mean, Denver, Portland, like.
Who are you picking?
Denver.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not so sure.
I mean,
I think it'll go to seven.
The Trailblazers have played really, really well. That's probably
the
most.
They played really well lately. And Dame in the playoffs.
Every series is
good. I just fear him.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Denver is missing their second best playoff performer. Actually, maybe first best playoff performer in Jamal Murray.
Yeah, you're right in the sense that you're like Michael Porter Jr. is going to have, like, we just have to see something from him.
Can he do it in the postseason? That's the question. I don't know. Yeah. If he can.
Aaron Gordon's the same thing. Like, he hasn't played anything of significance outside of being the sacrificial lamb at the eighth seed since he's been in the NBA.
What can those guys do in meaningful games? We know what Dame will do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We know for sure. And Jokic will perform too.
Is anybody picking any upsets other than maybe the Lakers over the Suns?
I think the upset there would be Suns over Lakers.
Maybe.
That's true.
Like, would you pick Miami over Milwaukee?
I might.
You might. What about Boston over Brooklyn?
Oh, heck no.
Hell no.
Yeah, there's
no
way.
And then I don't really, I mean, 4 or 5s, I don't really consider an upset, to be honest. Yeah. What about Utah and probably Golden State?
I don't know. Don't count out the Memphis Grizzlies, man.
That would be,
oh my God,
so shocking tonight if the Grizzlies beat the Warriors.
The Grizzlies are good.
I understand that. But the last game of the season, the Grizzlies and the Warriors both had something to play for, and the Warriors beat them pretty handily.
I mean, if Draymond played that good of defense.
I agree. I'm picking Golden State. I'm picking Golden State. But I want to yell at Taylor. I'm picking Golden State. But I
just wait till Draymond defends all 5 of the Grizzlies 100% of the time tonight. Huh? How about that?
He might.
How about that?
He might.
How about Jonas Valanciunas? Jonas Valanciunas.
He's good. That's another thing is who defends Jonas?
Kevin Looney.
Kevin. Kevin is his brother. I'm not joking.
You're kidding.
I'm not. He has a brother named Kevin. His name is Kevon. Not joking.
Feels like you're joking.
I'm not.
Andrew, are you joking?
No.
Hey, listen, if you want even more playoff content, Saturday Slam and Jam.
We're going over the Western Conference.
Western Conference.
Yep.
We will know tonight, won't we?
We will know tonight.
Hey guys, let's move on to our next Twitter question. It comes from @JestOnAQuest, who wants to know which happens first: Shea makes all NBA or the L-man buys a laptop. Guys, I have big news.
What?
You're buying a laptop?
I'm never buying a laptop.
I was going to say, this isn't the easiest question we've ever had on the pod.
Hi, dear mom.
That it's easily.
I don't use a computer.
What do you use?
Oh, my cell phone. Bro. I'm looking at my cell phone. I'm on Twitter.
Your smell phone.
My smell phone.
You have no reason that you'd use a computer.
No. Hey, guys, let's move on to our next Twitter question. It comes from we've already asked about Flabby Dagna. It's who asked about Sonic Seltzers.
And go over it again.
Let's just recap real quick. All right, starting at one. Some of them. The citrus smell like a big old fart. All right.
Flavor blasted.
Now, our next question says, from @BenelephantKing, who says, have you ever planned on making an appearance and it turned into an arrival?
Okay, so this is based on the Pressy quote that's going around everywhere. What's the quote?
So you're talking about the playoffs, that they don't want to make an appearance, they want to make an arrival.
Yeah.
Which is like, that's a very cool way of saying it.
I get it. So what this is like, this is like saying, I'm going to make an appearance at this party. I'm not planning on staying. Right.
No.
But then you make the arrival, but actually you get there and you don't leave.
No. It has nothing to do with time staying there. It has everything to do with it. Okay. Say there's a party that's already going on. Okay.
Yeah.
You're not there yet, Luke. Okay. You are not there yet. There's two ways you can enter this party. One, you can walk in the room and keep it kind of chill, and like now you're just a part of the party. Or two, bust through the door. Hey, the L train's here, and you have arrived. Now you are the attention of the party, and everyone's like, "Oh wow, yeah,
that's not how
I think
enter.
You're both
L train L man."
I think you're both right.
That's not how I enter parties, though.
I think you're both right.
I come in, you know what I say? Luke's in the house.
See, that's an arrival, though.
But sometimes I sneak in. I'm just like, "Hey guys,
appearance."
An appearance is also...
The duration, I think, is...
The duration is appearance, absolutely...
Appearance, it. You're in and you're out. Mm. Arrival, you're there, and you're not leaving.
Right now, the Wizards are making an appearance in the playoffs, right?
Yeah.
Like, that team is not sustainable for the next decade. That team can be... You could see them back in the playoffs next year, but would you bet that they'd be in the playoffs in 2 years?
I have one thing to say to that. Luke's in the house.
Also the Pacers. Like, do you think the Pacers are going to make the playoffs even next season? Would you bet on that?
Play-in appearance.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying.
You know, that's what they're talking about. Is just like with when the Thunder arrived in 2010 in the playoffs against the Lakers. Right. It wasn't like, oh my gosh, cool, they made it, but is this team ever going to make it again? No, it was, oh my gosh, like the Thunder are here and look how young they are and they're going to be a problem for a long, long time. And that's what they want to do again.
Okay.
All right. Let's move on to our next.
We didn't answer the question, but we should.
Twitter question. We kind of have you ever planned on making an appearance? Yeah. No, I don't know. And turned into an arrival? I don't know. I don't think I have.
I don't know.
Hey, guys, let's move on to our next Twitter question. It comes from at MiguelDevella25, who wants to know, does Andrew feel like he's in high school every time the people from The Athletic call him by his last name? Are you willing to call him Schlecht for a whole pod? Can I answer this for you?
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like high school. It feels like 8th grade with Mr. Winkle.
Okay. I was glad you said this because this is what I think about too. Anytime, so I had my basketball coach in the 8th grade would see me in the hallway at Hefner Middle School. You can go ahead and say it.
This is, and every time he'd see him, he goes, "What's up, Schlecht?" Every time. And here's the thing. I thought this teacher was cool and I wanted him to like me.
Yeah.
He didn't have any fond feeling towards me. Loved Andrew. It'd be like me and Andrew walking down the hall and we'd see him and it's both of us. And he'd be like, "What's up, Schlecht?"
Do you think did he actually like you?
Oh yeah.
Yes. Legitimately.
Oh yeah. Anytime I was around a girl, he would look at me and go, "Schlecht, you're the man. You're the man, Schlecht. Oh, you're the man."
Every
Schlecht.
Time, like I was like at my locker, there'd be like a couple of girls, "You're the man, Schlecht." Every time. It was so funny.
That's the only person I've ever known that has only referred to you by your last name.
Well, I mean, in college, there were a lot of guys that did.
Yeah, but but he did it all the time.
It was exclusive, yeah.
Man. They also, because me and Andrew were in the same fraternity, and in our pledge class, there was Andrew Schlecht, and there was Andrew Shacklett.
We kid you not.
Whoa.
Yes.
Yes. And
which was very confusing, for a lot of people.
To the point that we once had a big meeting about the behavior of our pledge class, and they were talking about how me, Andrew Schlecht, was being too clicky with people. And they had written it on, we had done this weird thing where you write it on a note and somebody stands up and reads it about you and you have to stand up and answer for yourself.
Hey, but they asked the other guy.
But they said, "Hey, Andrew Shacklett, why are you so clicky and don't get to know more guys in the pledge class?" It was definitely me because like Luke and I were already good friends. I had other friends in the pledge class. I had no interest in getting to know a lot of people.
Right.
I had my friends leave me alone.
So who wrote
and
that note?
I don't know who wrote it, but the best part is anonymous. I never had to answer for it.
Yes.
Andrew Shacklett had to answer for it. He got up and he was like, "Guys, I am really trying my best."
Oh, and you knew and you let it happen.
I knew it.
It was awesome because they asked... Because
we all knew.
Because they asked. They asked me and the two other guys me and Andrew hung out with all the time. Asked me, those two guys, and then this fourth guy who's not a part of our group.
Yeah,
he was just like, "Man, I just feel like I'm really like getting to know you guys, and I'm just surprised I asked this, but I'll just do better."
Yeah,
it was so funny. It was really good.
Poor Andrew Schlecht.
"You're the man, Schlecht." "You're the man, Schlecht." God.
He used to say it all the time.
Andrew was the coolest in eighth grade. All right. Let's move on to our next Twitter question. It comes from at John M. Ham, friend of the pod. Would you rather watch the worst movie you've ever seen for 24 consecutive hours or rewatch that OKC Clippers game one time?
Somebody had a follow up. What's the worst movie you've ever seen?
Worst movie I've ever seen? Oh, I walked out of Curious Case of Benjamin Button.
You walked out? Never walked out.
That was the only movie I've ever walked out on.
Really?
In the theater, I couldn't finish it.
Wow.
It was so boring. I had such high expectations.
Boring. Yeah, it was pretty boring.
I watched this week New Mutants.
Oh, yeah? How was it?
It's terrible. It's the worst movie I've seen recently.
Really?
Nothing happens.
Huh.
Nothing happens. And it's just really bad. It was boring.
Wow. So Luke, was it missing storyline? Good storylines?
Yes.
Miffed and peeved.
Are you guys miffed? Are you guys peeved? I'm GMB'd.
It was my birthday last weekend. And
it's your birthday.
My wife. It was also her birthday. So we went to breakfast, and then she wanted to get a pedicure. And she's like, you should also get a pedicure.
Oh, yeah.
And
oh.
I had never had a pedicure.
That's called treating yourself.
I was treating myself. And it was great.
Yeah, pedis are...
I never had one. When they shaved my feet, though, it was the most disgusting thing ever.
Shaved?
It was 35 years of feet.
It's when they like take the stone and get off the top layer, you know?
The pumice stone.
Yeah, 35 years of feet.
Here's the thing about...
It was a lot.
But did you feel luxurious?
I did. It was great.
Here's the thing that I don't like. When they push your cuticles back, I don't like. I tell them, don't do that. I don't like that.
You don't like what the feet?
I didn't cuticles, feel it.
Cuticles, I don't like it.
It did tickle. There were some tickly like moments.
You know what I want to do? Have you ever seen that one where you put your feet in the water and the fish eat off
Yeah, the I would skin? Never do that.
I want to do that.
You do? No, why?
No. I love fish. And I love that. And I want to get my feet cleaned.
But what about scarves?
Wow.
But I want to do that. I don't know if there's I bet there's a place in Oklahoma City that does it, but I want to go. Send me your recs.
Petties are, I'm glad you brought that up because I think I want to do petties a little bit more often.
Have you ever done a manicure?
No, I don't want, the thing I like about the pedicure is the massaging of the feet and the legs.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I just want more foot massage. There's not a better massage than a foot massage. A hand massage is pretty good, but they don't do it that much on manicures.
Yeah.
A foot massage is unbelievable.
Yeah, it was great. It was great. Thanks so much for listening to our podcast.
And they like, you know, at what point did they start sucking your toes?
I love fish.
Well, I want a fish tank.